Once again, we stop the roar of the mighty presses to invite you to meet the members of the Weekly Bind newspaper. The members of its staff are Richard Murdoch, Kenneth Horn, Sam Coster, Maurice Denham, Dora Bryan, the BBC Men's Chorus, and the BBC Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz.
Yes, sir, but... of course we value your advertisements. Yes, I know your restaurant's a most respectable one. Would I want? Look at your advertisement on the back page of last week's edition. Certainly, but I distinctly remember that we... Yes, there it is. Dine at the Savoy restaurant. Seems all right so far. Rooms of... Oh, yes, I... Fate, it's a terrible misprint. Rooms available for private sinners. Yes, I'll get on to it right away. Yes, yes, yes. Goodbye.
Sweet Spawn! Oh, I'm sorry, sir, dear. I'm in the middle of my dinner.
Don't talk to me about dinner. Send Mr. Bumble in at once.
Oh, dear. Has there been an unfortunate occurrence?
I'll say there has. The Savoy restaurant's been having sinners for dinner.
Oh, woe betide. Oh, sinners for dinner. What will they think of next? Fried ne'er-do-wells and chips, hard to think.
More than likely. Anyhow, send Mr. Bumble in.
Very good, sir, dear. Chitty bye.
Oh, good morning, Murdoch. By the way, how about having a nice quiet dinner with me at the Savoy tonight?
A nice quiet dinner, I should think so.
Oh, that's very clever, Murdoch. You ought to print that.
I have, sir.
Splendid, where?
There, back page.
Dine the Savoy restaurant, the rooms of... Oh, I say, that's a shocking misprint. Wonder they haven't rung you up about it.
They have, sir.
Oh. And did they complain?
They did, sir.
Oh. And are they going to take their customer away?
They are.
Well, Murdoch, no good just standing around doing nothing. Send for Mr. Bubble.
I have sent for Mr. Bubble, you dim-witted old dunderhead. Oh, sir. Sir. Come, sir. I didn't mean it.
Murdoch, I would never be so...
Have a bullseye, sir.
No, thanks, Murdoch. I've just had an oxtail.
I don't know what's come over me lately. I've been nervous and irritable. I'm not the me I know.
Aren't you?
No. I'm the him I wish I weren't. And I had the most terrible dreams. Only the other night I dreamt I was eating flannel.
Oh, I know that old one, Murdoch. When you woke up, the blanket had gone.
No, but my pajamas had. Ah, there you are, Mr. Bubble. Have you seen this misprint?
Yes, sir. It's most reprehensible.
It certainly is the damage you can do by altering just one letter.
Well, it might have been worse, sir.
How?
It might have been a whole syllable. Anyhow, sir, I've printed a correction in this week's edition, and I think you'll find it quite impeccable.
Good, let's see it. Yes. Eat at the Savoy restaurant, fine. Rooms available for private dinners, that's all right. Bring your wife here after the theatre for a nice cuppa. Supper!
Oh, dear. Oh, well, it's no good locking the stable door after the...
You know, he always seems quite imperturbable.
Sometimes he gets quite excited.
When's that?
When he sees a bubble dancer. Incidentally, sir, I must say, I was rather in a bad mood this morning, even before this bubble business cropped up.
Really? Why?
You know that letter you sent me?
Yes.
I had to pay fivepence on it.
Surely I put a stamp on?
Stamp on my fault.
Right.
Oh, now you've got your own back for me calling you a fat-headed old nincompoop.
You didn't. You called me a dithering old dunderhead.
Did I? That's funny. I always think of you more as a fat-headed old...
By the way, I was rather intrigued with that machine you showed me, which changes one letter into another.
The stopping machine.
That's the one, yes.
You remember last time you saw it was turning P's into B's?
Yes, so why did you need so many B's?
Well, Mr. Bubble was doing the typesetting, and you need an awful lot of B's for the balls in his bubbles. Well, this week we've cured that, but we need a lot of extra R's for the reporters at the Edinburgh Festival.
I see. Do you mean to say you're tearing little bits off the B's and turning them into R's?
Yes, it's a bit painful for the B's, but the R's rather like it. Would you like to step in next door and see the machine at work?
Of course, my lord.
Right, you'll hear it as soon as I open the...
Quite impressive, my lord. Well, now... I really must congratulate you on the way you've got the paper going.
Oh, thank you, sir. Incidentally, you'll be delighted to hear that we've received an order for the weekly buy-in from that big bookstall at Victoria Station.
No.
Yes. Didn't you see a copy on the counter when you came through this morning?
I can't think of it, I did.
That was the order.
Was it?
Did you notice the cover, by the way?
You mean the picture of Big Ben?
Yes.
I thought it was striking.
How could it be, sir? It was only 9:10.
Oh, yes.
Good morning, sir. I wonder if you'd okay the advertisement for me.
Certainly, Costa. Let's hear them.
Well, this one's for the Help Wanted column. Lady needs cleaning every Thursday morning.
Okay.
Small ads. Knit yourself an iron curtain. Apply the Cleopatra Needle Company.
Okay.
Yeah. Sport. Joe Davis, retired world snooker champion, gives weekly lessons on the art of potting shrimps.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, now, I didn't quite know how to classify this next one, sir, so I'll put it under entertainment.
What does it say?
Miss Bunty Goodall has cast-off clothing. Dial Charing Cross 2833.
Charing Cross, what do you say, yes. Now, what about your present thought for the week, Costa?
Well, I have got one here, sir, and I think you'll find it beautifully obnoxious.
I'm sure we shall. Yeah, so what do you call it?
My love is like a red, red fire bucket. By Prudence Gush. And I quote, please do not tread upon the daisies as your footsteps pass. Oh, tread not on the buttercups, part hidden in the grass. Let not your tread disturb the sleepy petals as they nod. On peeping snowdrops, never tread. Oh, clumsy twerp, you trod.
Didn't you find that stimulating, Murdoch?
I don't think my stimules have ever been so ape before. Tell me, why did you choose Prudence Gush as your pseudonym, Costa?
Well, it was a case of Prudence Gush or Letitia Scattermole, and Prudence Gush is a bit less hackneyed.
This is.
Yes. Mind you, I had thought of Margaret Stebbings.
Yes.
Then I thought of Enid Scantlebury.
Yes.
Then I toyed with the idea of Marilyn Monroe.
Ah, who hasn't?
Yes. Of course, the idea was intrinsically hypothetical.
Oh, Joe Costa, you are learning a lot of long words.
Yes, you might almost call me a walking encyclopedia. By the way, sir, what does intermediary mean?
Intermediary means go-between. Why?
Well, do you mind if I intermediary 4 and 5 o'clock today?
Why?
Emily's having her hair done.
Perm?
No, judged. And, by the way, sir, you haven't forgotten our new cafeteria opened this morning. You and Mr. Horn ought to try it out.
Why, Costa?
Well, you'll get a better meal than you usually have in the cabman shelter.
What makes you think we go there?
I thought I saw you drinking at the trough outside.
Of course not.
Well, it must have been two other horses.
Costa!
Well, you're always on at me, just because I've been made president of the Interplanetary Society.
Costa, you haven't.
Yes, and what's more, I landed on the moon last week, but the man was out, so I came back.
Costa!
Yes, he left a note saying, gone to Venus back in 5 light years.
Costa!
All right, so I'm a liar.
By the way, sir, we've been asked by a French press agency to send football results to them each week.
Which agency?
It's the Agence Sportive de Football Cricket et Casino de Paris.
Oh, yes, it's part of the Maitre Courbet-Sonard Pêcher group, isn't it?
More than likely, sir, yes, sir. They want us to translate our football results into French so that they can run a football club.
Oh, I see, that should be easy. Now, what teams are there?
Let me see, there's Tottenham Hotspurs. That in French would be Tottenham Jambon Show Spurs.
Obviously, yes, yes.
Now, Manchester United.
Manchester United would be Homchester Uni.
Obviously.
Yes.
The Scottish League might be more tricky. Supposing Motherwell were playing Aloha.
Well, Motherwell. Motherwell would be J'espère que votre mère n'est pas malade, I suppose.
Obviously.
Now, what about Aloha?
Aloha. Yes. Oh, I should say, comment ça va?
Obviously, yes.
Or, of course, Kelshays.
Kelshays?
What chair?
Obviously, yes. I should think the Journal Francais would be absolutely tickle au mot, I think, sir.
Either that or frappe rigid. Come in.
Hello,
oh,
Ms.
good
Plum.
Morning, Miss Plum.
Good morning. I thought you might like to peruse my personal paragraph.
My dear Miss Plum, we'd be pleased to peruse your personal paragraph with painstaking promptitude.
Oh, it's all very much indeed, I'm sure.
I'm sure you are, yes.
Gladys Plum shows you how. This week, how to run up a fancy dress.
Fancy that.
No, fancy dress.
Oh, I see.
I'd like to know how to run up a fancy dress. So far, I've only run up a staircase. What about you, sir?
Oh, well, I've run up a bill or two in my time. Carry on, Miss Plum.
Mind you, my friend Iris gave me the idea of this article. Oh, she just screams out when she gets going. She said, if you're going to a fancy dress ball, you don't want to worry about the costume. All you need is a little ingenuity.
Yeah, a bit chilly in the winter, I should think.
Oh, you're almost as bad as Iris. Anyhow, oh, it makes me laugh just to think about it.
Oh, that's very good.
Madam, she hasn't got to it yet.
Oh, I apologize.
Carry on, Miss Tom.
Well, guess what she did?
Now, let me think. Did she put on a bowler and go as Alec Bitzer?
No! Oh, it was a scream. She and her brother had a few drinks and went as a stewed pear.
It's not as funny as all that, sir.
No, Mullock, it was that one of yours about someone covering himself with batter and going as Len Hutton. It was very nice of you.
As a matter of fact, the last fancy dress dance I went to, my partner went as Lady Godiva.
What did you go as?
I went as red as a beetroot.
I don't mind. Carry on, Miss Plum.
No, sir, don't keep saying carry on, Miss Plum.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
Thank you. Carry on, Miss Plum.
How to run up a fancy dress. When you receive an invitation to a fancy dress party, do you immediately go to the nearest costumier's and hire yourself an expensive outfit?
Well, I... I'm sorry.
There is not the slightest need to spend a lot of money. All you need are a few oddments from about the house and a little know-how.
Well, I don't think Bessie's got a know-how. She said to me the other day...
Stop it, don't mess about.
That's right.
Shall I carry on? There are many ways of creating a convincing costume. For instance, sew a few black pom-poms onto your pajamas, wear a ruffle and a pointed paper hat, and you'll look like a proper hero.
If Mr. Horn did that, he'd look a proper...
Then again, you know what you can do with a lampshade, don't you?
Carry on, Miss Plum.
You can put it on top of your head.
Yes, you could do that too, yes.
Wear a kimono and a pigtail and go as a Chinese mandarin. You may say to yourself, these will never win the prize for the most original costume. Well, they won't. But here's an idea for the men, one that no one else will have thought of and can be guaranteed to give your friends a hearty chuckle. Leave your shirt hanging out at the back, pin some snow on it and go as a winter's tail. Next week, how to make an apple turnover in bed.
Oh, I am looking forward to that. Thank you, Miss Plum. A very good article. You can take it straight to press.
Oh, thank you. Well, I must go along to the dark room now. Mr. Costa took a photo of the roly-poly I made yesterday, and he's promised to show me the proof of the pudding. Cheerio.
Murdoch, will you ever forget the fancy dress party at West Wittering we went to as ancient Britons?
You mean when we wore woad?
When we wore what?
When we wore woad.
Where were we when we wore woad?
We were weekending at West Wittering with Willie Watson and Wendell Wilkie when we wore woad, weren't we?
Where we?
Wait. Come in. Ah, it's the press gang. What have you come in for?
We're going to sing.
Oh, splendid. Which is the leader of you chaps? I thought you were, sir. What are you going to sing?
The Grenadier. Steady and strong, marching along, singing a song from the motherland. Grenadiers, steady in war, ready in love, living to serve no other land. In the uniform, making the heart by storm, we'll be sure in the Grenadiers. Steady and strong, marching along, here is a colonel field. And the Royal Grenadiers. The world and the task, every man and the veil is on them all. If the world and the task, think and span, not a single eye but more. Our hearts are aflame with a loyalty for which we give our hearts above. Grenadiers, steady and strong, marching along, singing a song of motherland. Grenadiers, steady and warm, ready and strong, living to serve no motherland. In uniform, taking the heart by storm.
Switchboard.
Oh, Ivy, it's Maurice Davenport here.
Oh, hello, Doc.
I say, I'm sorry to trouble you, Miss Klingbein.
Oh, nothing you could do. Is ever too much trouble for me, Mr. Davenport?
Oh, I say.
Oh, woe betide.
I believe there's a call on the other line for me from my twin brother, Dudley.
Oh, fancy there being two of you. Are you very alike?
Well, yes, we're alike as two peas. Even my mother can't tell us apart, unless we're together.
I'll switch the call over.
Oh, thanks.
Hello, is that you, Morris?
Oh, yes, hello, Dudley.
I say, that switchboard operator of yours is absolutely...
yes, I know, isn't she?
By the way,
Dudley,
Morris,
is it true when the maid said... Sorry, Dudley, you were saying?
No, you carry on, please.
Well, what I was
only going to tell you about this...
Oh, carry on, Dudley, you're paying for the call.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've reversed the charges. I say, Morris...
Yes, Dudley?
I've met a simply wizard girl.
Oh, absolutely lush.
Rather, she's jolly dee. As a matter of fact, I'm meeting her train at the station at 2:35.
But, Dudley, it's after 2:40 now.
Oh, I say, I am a fool. Cheerio, Morris.
Bye-bye, Dudley.
Morning, Morris.
Good morning, Sam. Oh, morning, Miss Plum. I say, that's a nice off-the-shoulder dress you're wearing, Miss Plum.
Well, it's better than those off-the-peg ones. I made it myself out of office hours.
Looks as if you made it out of office curtains.
Oh, Sam, you are a one. What say one evening you two and Iris and me make up a four and go to the Pally?
Oh, that'd be wish. Oh, yes.
Do you know, last year I took part in the Gay Gordons at Greenock.
Funny that. This year, Emily and me took part in the miserable Macintoshes at Manchester.
Of course, I very often go square dancing.
Oh, Miss Plum, with all those curves, you could never look square.
Well, I must say that when I was dancing with Leslie Bridgemont the other day, he dosed my doze so hard that my friend Iris said it should have been called the Boonsy Dozy. Oh, talking about laugh.
Yes. Well, it's a strange thing to say, but protoplasmic phantasmagoria.
Well, what about it?
It's a strange thing to say. Oh, by the way, anybody using the tape machine? Because I want to play back the recording I made at the sheepdog trials in Scotland.
Well, there's a recording on the machine at the moment. Do you know how to run it back?
Well, not really. You see, Mr. Murdoch and Mr. Horn, they're the only two who really know how to do it.
Oh, well, let's try this thing called recording switch.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Well, now, I'll put my reel on, and then we'll...
Okay, Sam, I know how to switch it on. Yes, here we go. I'm longing to hear about the sheepdog trials.
Look, Mr. Costa, why did you have to go and see those silly dogs and sheep when you could bide here as with me for a while?
Okay, Jeannie, anything you say is all right with me. Come to my arms and let me...
Look, Mr. Costa! Oh, no, no, you none of you died.
Oh, what on earth was that, Mr. Costa?
Well, I must have switched the recording machine on by mistake before I left the digs. We'll leave it running. Ah, that's better.
Well, here I am at the Inverbannock gathering, and no doubt you heard the skirl of the pipes. I was hoping to record the sound of the peabrock, but it's the mating season, and I couldn't even tempt them out with a handful of birdseed. Well, would you? Now, in a few minutes...
Excuse me, Mr. Costa. Mother says you didn't appear your bill. It's such a name and puffin'.
Go away, Jeannie. Can't you see I'm making a record for my paper?
I didn't care if you're making a haggis for your supper. My mother wants such a name and puffin'.
As I was saying, I'm standing here at Inverbannock, and I must say that the way these Scottish shepherds control their dogs is quite amazing. And there's no doubt that we Saturnacs owe them a great deal.
Aye, that's the nine and threepence.
Go away, Jeannie. Well, now, I've persuaded one of the shepherds to come to the microphone. Would you tell us your name, sir?
Okay.
Well, now, Mr. Ockeye, tell me about the sheep penning lock. How does the dog manage to do it?
Oh, clearly, you never know what it is. Of course, you know how it is on your visual. But, of course, you know no more than a soil street.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. Well, just before you go, Mr. Ockeye, tell me, who would you say has been the greatest influence on Scottish history?
Oh, my dear, Robert and all his reputation around the corner of D.D. Royal Steed and your nurse, Stuart McPherson.
Well, thank you, and I'm deeply indebted to you.
Aye, and to me too, such a nine and threepence.
Go away, Jeannie. Now, the next trial is on, so I'll let you hear for yourself the amazing way these dogs maneuver the sheep into the pens.
Lassie. Go there, Lassie. Bring him back, Lassie.
In order that you can hear about this from an expert, I'm handing the microphone over to someone who's very kindly come from the south of the border to judge these trials. Mr. Harry Shrubsole.
Thank you. Well, now, we're at the moment watching Mr. McClatty's dog, Llewellyn, rounding up the 6 sheep preparatory to guiding them into the pen. He's got them all in a bunch now, and yes, he's successfully maneuvered them through the open hurdle into the pen. I'll just walk across with the mic on and check that everything's all right. Now, I'm right inside the pen, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Good heavens, 7. I don't remember seeing this black sheep before. Must be the black sheep of the safe yourself.
Come on, listen, was there something?
Well, listeners, this is a most unusual sheep. There's something quite outstanding about it.
Aye, there is. 39 and 3.
No.
Well, see, what an extraordinary experience, Mr. Costa. How did you manage to get in that pen?
Well, I met a pen pal, and you know how it is. You get talking and one thing.
Ah, there you are, you two. Mr. Bubbles waiting for your coffee in the printing room. You'd better hurry along there, haven't they, sir?
Yes, they've been in here far too long.
Yes.
You must get weaving.
I'm rather glad we're alone, because I very much wanted your opinion on... Oh, dear, come in.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Mulch. I suppose you've come to tell us about your garden.
Well, in a sort of way. Now, you remember that I didn't have any potatoes because of the Colorado beetles?
Yes.
And I didn't have any beans because of the black fly?
Yes.
And I have no peas because of the birds?
Yes.
Well, you'll be sorry to hear I'll not have any tomatoes.
Oh, dear. Why not?
I forgot to put the seed in. By the way, have you got an old sack, a Wellington boot, a dishcloth, and last week's Radio Times?
Why, are you thinking of starting a gymnasium?
No, I want them for my compost heap.
Murdoch, what's that bit of manuscript on the piano? Don't tell me you're composing another song.
Well, sir, I...
You'll have a job to better your last one.
You mean my last song, Look Over Your Shoulder, Your Ears Are On Fire?
No. No, not that one, that...
Well, I know the one... Though I'm 30 and you're 40, I shall love you till we're deuce.
No. No, I meant that better one of yours. There's a tooth mark on the bread knife where my baby cut her teeth.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Very, very melodious song.
Do you know, when Dorothy Squires first sang that song, she cried so much she filled up her swimming pool?
Really? Well, now, Mulloch, let's see this new song you're writing.
No, it's not finished. It's nothing.
Go on, Mulloch. Give me Charlie. Give it to me.
No, I
give it to me. All right, then. I shall have to take it from you. Murdoch, don't cry, old man. I can stick it together.
As far as I'm concerned, you can...
Murdoch! you don't want to say something you'll regret, do you?
Yes.
All right, then say it.
Something you'll regret.
Yeah. Now, look, there's one of the pieces of your song on the floor. Sailor man's mind.
No, so you've got it the wrong way up.
Go on, sorry.
My man's a sailor from across the sea. My man's a sailor coming home to me.
Coming what?
Coming home to me.
Oh, I see.
Oh, Murdoch, it's beautiful.
I wrote it specially for you, sir.
Did you really?
Yes, I thought it was right up your street.
It is, too.
You don't think it ought to be a bit jollier? You know, like that one you always would sing at mess dinners. There wasn't no farmer who had no son.
Well, if you're not suggesting that I should sing, my man's a sailor who goes...
Well, sir, I wasn't thinking of the... or the...
What were you thinking of?
The...
Murdoch, be careful. Anyhow, it'd be too much like... Idly down, then.
Well, sir, I could put the first and then the and finish on the...
No, but it's jolly nice as it is. Now, how does it go on? Let's see.
My man's a sailor from across the sea. My man's a sailor coming home to...
Well, turn over the page.
Oh, yes.
Coming home
too much banging in March.
Our thanks to every BBC technician. Tiddling pom-pom
at much banging in March. They seldom have a breakdown in transmission.
Last Friday, though, all listeners down at Western Supermare
heard nothing else, but
then we were back upon the air.
At much binding in marsh. At much binding in marsh.
To pilot level Duke, our hats we're raising.
At much binding in the marsh. His swiftness in the air is quite amazing.
He did Germany via France and back a little time ago.
A sudden change of language was essential to his show.
Goodbye for now.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Au revoir, monsieur.
Hello.
At much binding in the marsh. At much binding in the marsh.
To keep our hens consistent in their laying.
At much binding in the marsh. We had a radiogram which keeps on playing.
One hen adores the waltz, and for Vienna Woods she begs.
Another, when a rumba plays, starts jiving with her legs.
But when the bagpipes play, they all rush off and lay Scotch eggs.
At much binding in the marsh, last verse. At much binding in the marsh.
Some children now are feeling broken-hearted.
At much binding in the marsh. The holidays are over, school has started.
Now children take arithmetic. What are 2 and 2?
5, 7. 12.
Oh dear, it can't be true.
Let's turn to poetry.
What a young lady asked her, that'll do. And much fighting in the mud.
My man's a sealer from the bush.
Fighting in the mud. And much fighting in the mud.
That was the 6th edition of Much Binding, with Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horne, where Sam Costa, Maurice Denham as Mrs. Davenport, Mulch, Bubble and Ivy, Dora Bryan, Cluffit, BBC Men's Chorus, and the BBC Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. The script was by Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horne, and the program was produced by Leslie Bridgemont.